KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have clear skies and 26 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 54. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education discussed but took no action on the 2018-19 school calendar during their meeting Wednesday evening at the high school. Superintendent Steve Barber said a committee was formed and two calendars were provided to staff in each of the district's buildings for feedback.
Some of the challenges that existed for us, especially now when the August 23rd is a Thursday, that means that final day would be on the Friday, the 24th of May. And the current calendar that we had this year was kind of misled in regards to we had 1093 hours versus 1105, which was kind of stated on there. There were some multiplication errors on there. So we've lost 20 hours so far, and so we're at 1073. We'll add the May 25th to it, which is that Friday before Memorial Day, and then we're gonna have to probably take a professional development day and maybe have a full day of school that to make it to get to 1080. That's barring if we have any more weather issues or any lost time there.
This year, the district will add the 25th as a student day and other small tweaks to the calendar to meet the requirement if it's approved. Any additional weather delays will result in the makeup of additional instruction hours. The 2018-19 school calendar will be different from the 2017-18 calendar, and that the first semester will have students in school on December 21st. Last year, they did not have school on the Friday before the break.
We still have a big difference between first semester and second semester because we do our semester tests before the break, but this didn't add an additional day to that. So that would be one difference. The committee felt that the Martin Luther King Day as a professional development day was too close to our extended break. So we moved that day to President's Day.
The committee calendar discussion also included moving spring conferences to later in the school year or make sure that the parent-teacher conference is the only activity on two evenings. District staff were split 50-50 with regard to changing the week-long break to an extended break around the Easter time. By doing that, officials said they were able to increase the number of instructional hours in the schedule to create more flexibility within the hours. School board member Christy Pellett said she was asked recently what communication happened with the preschools in town in terms of having the calendars coincide somewhat currently with their calendars. Board President Allison Bruckner said the preschools, they usually just tie to our calendar. The biggest impact they usually do, she says, is conferences. Superintendent Steve Barber acknowledged that he had not reached out to the YMCA or Little Lambs. He said, I didn't have conversation with either of those.
And I think that was more related to things going on this year, just in terms of for parents who have kids in both, you know, that they were concerned that we aren't more aligned.
I assume that's
a conversation that needs to be had with the preschool directors, but if we're going to be making substantial changes to our calendar,
just let them know.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
I mean, I get it. You know, when parents have, you know, maybe transportation issues or things.
Steve Barber said he will take the suggestions back to the committee and see if there are any more tweaks that can be made. He and Pellett both admitted there's no way to make everyone happy. Christy Pellett said it would be nice to have consistency year to year in the calendars when possible. A public hearing on the 2018-19 school calendar will be held during the board's regular meeting on April 11th. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said Wednesday that a Pottawatomie County man was sentenced March 13th to prison for being a felon in possession of a firearm. 35-year-old Sean Collin of Council Bluffs will be required to serve 2 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release at the conclusion of his imprisonment. On September 23rd of last year, Cullen was admitted into an emergency room at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs for treatment of a gunshot wound to his leg. He claimed that someone had shot him. After an investigation, though, it was determined Cullen shot himself with a firearm during a domestic dispute. Cullen then threw the loaded handgun into a neighbor's yard before driving himself to the hospital for treatment. Officers observed a trail of blood on the outside of the residence that led to the fence of the property. The neighbor located the gun and reported it to Council Bluffs police the next day. The firearm was determined to be a six-shot .22 caliber revolver with one round spent in the cylinder. Cullen was convicted in 2007 of a felony for theft, making him ineligible to possess a firearm. And a Council Bluffs man was sentenced Wednesday in U.S. District Court as well to a term of imprisonment, followed by 3 years of a supervised release, also for being a felon in possession of a firearm. 33-year-old Jesus Everardo Medina is required to serve 37 months or slightly more than 3 years in prison on the charge. An investigation into his activities began when Council Bluffs police reported to a gunshot being heard in the 1400 block of Avenue B shortly after midnight on June 5th of last year. Upon arriving in the area, officers located 9mm shell casings and were told by a witness that the party responsible, Jesus Medina, had left the area in a gold-colored two-door car. The vehicle was located a short distance later with Medina in the back seat. A 9mm Jennings semi-automatic handgun was found in the seat pocket in front of Medina. He was convicted of a felony offense in 2009, making it unlawful for him to possess a firearm. In the funeral announcements, Ella Thompson, age 100, who's formerly of Cumberland, died Sunday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Ella Thompson will be today at 11 o'clock at the First Lutheran Church southeast of Wyota. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Krista Lynn Hessebeck, age 38, of Lakota, a native of Atlantic, died March the 3rd in Lakota. A celebration of life for Krista Hessebeck will be tomorrow from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Anita Community Center. Daryl Culver, age 61, of Atlantic, died March the 6th. A memorial service for Daryl Culver will be on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gene Hauser, age 87, of Griswold, died Tuesday at the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Gene Hauser will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Recon Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Alice Lamer, age 88, of Walnut, died Tuesday in Elkhorn. A mass of Christian burial for Alice Lamer will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Jeanette Whitrock, age 78, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Jeanette Whitrock will be this Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Janice Gruber, age 81, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Celebration of Life services for Janice Gruber will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle, with Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle in charge of arrangements. Donald Gamble, age 60, of Atlantic, died February 27th in Des Moines. A celebration of life luncheon for Donald Gamble will be held at noon Saturday at the Catholic Parish Center in Atlantic. And Julie Ann Ranny Mickles, age 61, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Services for Julie Ann Ranny Mickles are currently pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.